sporty, as my next guest proves on a daily basis. Kaz Aston from Winkfield near Bracknell was diagnosed with MS in 1995 and joins me in the studio now. Kaz, thanks for coming in. It is an odd thing, this, because it is one of those things, to look at you, I'd have no idea that there was any problem medically whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Does that create a difficulty for you explaining it to other people?
I think explaining it to other people is always the big challenge. How are you going to put it into words, and what are the right words to try and describe something that's so unpredictable? Because you can have days where you feel so wonderful and fine, and other days where you're a little tired, or you may have other symptoms. So it's the unpredictability that makes it hard to explain too.
We spoke in the last hour to someone who talked about relapses. Yvonne was talking about the fact that there are times when the disease really does make an appearance.
Yes.
And it affects you very directly and very obviously, but you can't tell when that's going to happen, of course.
No, I mean, you sort of get sort of cardinal warning signs in your body that, you know, something may not be right. Or you may have a common cold, which sort of knocks you a little harder. So it's really getting in touch with your body. And as I've suffered this sort of situation for a number of years, I've kind of got used to that. So I sort of work out what's the best way to handle things.
Is today a good day or a bad day?
Well, it's an early start, you know, but it's nice weather outside. And it was a very pleasant journey over from Winkfield. So, yes, it's a fantastic day. Thank you very much.
And you're very active. I mean, you're still very sporty, aren't you?
Well, yes, I've been, you know, trying some sports that I never thought I could do, you know, with or without MS. You know, I've been trying some motor racing up at Santa Pod, you know, drag racing, fastest motorsport on earth, and golf, which golf is really, really good for balance and coordination. And I have a fantastic golf teacher that actually has MS as well. So he's, you know, had to make some sort of changes to get the balance right for, you know, how to deal with having MS and still playing golf.
Would you have done all these things if you hadn't been diagnosed, do you think?
Well, I've always had interest in sports and extreme things and having lots of fun. And that's one of the things that I've got out of these sporting interests. But yes, I think possibly I would have thought about it, but it's motivated me to really get stuck in and move forward with it.
What are you restricted from doing? I mean, Chris obviously isn't able to maintain a professional career as a top-flight sportsman.
Mm-hmm.
What does it restrict you from doing?
Well, for me, I suppose fatigue is a big thing. Tiredness. So I have to plan my day a little bit more. And I had to, you know, retire from my job as well as a nurse and working sort of with the NHS. So I had to sort of look at those considerations to get the balance right. And I think that's a key message, really, is getting the balance right and sometimes knowing when to stop, which if you don't, then you just have to take a bit of time out.
And you were a nurse at the time you were diagnosed. You were surrounded by people who knew what they were talking about.
Absolutely.
And were able to help you. How much of a difference did that make?
That really helped me working in a unit at the time. I was actually training to be a nurse, and so I was in an environment where I was learning and I wanted to know more about it. But sometimes I think when you're dealt a card like that, you think, well, I just need to know what I need to know, keep it simple, and so I can then work out what I do next. So not being overloaded with lots of medical information sometimes does help too.
One of the things that strikes me is, of course, we are so confident in our own lives that we were going to plan out what we're going to do and life is going to work out in this particular fashion. And then, of course, you have something taken away from you. You are prevented from doing what you had mentally planned.
Yes.
How do you deal with the anger, in inverted commas? I'm not sure everyone experiences anger. Mm. Everyone experiences it differently, I'm sure, but well, how do you deal with the resentment that things are not going the way that you thought they might?
Well, absolutely. It's that, why me? You know, like you said, I had loads planned after I finished my nursing qualification. And so I had to change and sort of think, well, with the first sort of 7 years, you can get a feel for what your MS is doing. But that doesn't help you when you're thinking, well, I was meant to be going off and training to be a GP. I was meant to be doing this. I was meant to be doing that. What am I going to do now? And like we said earlier, how am I going to tell people? How do I get this message across so it doesn't put people off or frighten people? And most importantly as well, worry my family. Because I suppose I was quite protective, wanting them to sort of, look, don't worry, it could be a lot worse. We haven't got a cure for it yet, but the treatments and the progress with therapies and management of the illness is really very, very good.
And you talked about, and we mentioned just before we spoke on air, we were talking about labels. What point are you Kaz, and what point are you Kaz with MS, and how do you make sure that you don't have that as a tag that everyone just associates you and sees you for you rather than sees you and the disease together.
Well, that's the thing. And, do you know, it did take me a few years to sort of come out the closet, so to speak, to actually turn around and say, well, actually, yes, I've got MS. Not that I didn't, you know, or I denied it, but it wasn't something that I sort of came forward with.
Because it doesn't define you as a person.
No.
But it is very much part of who you are now.
Yes, and it's something that, as I always sort of struggled sometimes to ask for help, being a very independent, determined lady, you know, it's like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to achieve this. But for me, you know, I sort of had a bit of a hiccup, and I had to sort of start to think about things a little bit more. The more years you've had it, the more you get used to it. But again, you know, I needed to sort of say, well, okay, I need a bit of help. I've got MS. Do you know what that is? Because a lot of people don't understand what MS is all about, because it's so varied, it's so unpredictable. So asking for help really helped me to move forward. So I really encourage you to do that.
And what about you? Where do you get your resources of help from? Who do you rely on?
Well, I've got a fantastic MS team that look after me, and the services in Berkshire are very, very good. And they provide support for me and the treatment that I have. They really keep, you know, a close sort of eye on you. And importantly as well, working with your GP, because I know as a nurse and an ex-district nurse how important that is. So, you know, you can get advice and support as you need it, but not live it 24/7, you know. It's like, I don't want to keep talking about this.
And that's the problem, surely, isn't it?
Yes.
Doesn't conversation generally, for people who've never met you before, go, oh, well, you know, tell me, and you must get thoroughly bored.
And they don't know what to say. They sort of go through that, well, you look well, and is this motor racing at Santapod? And, well, the golf, that's a bit safer, that's a bit better, isn't it? And I'm saying, well, yes, Mike Johnson's O'Connor's really helping me to learn this in the best way, because it's great for my balance. And they sort of worry about you sometimes, and it's like, just chill out, you know? This is something that I'm living with, and I think there's lots of different ways of handling it, and everyone's an individual.
You end up having to look after them, then, surely.
Well, but that's this is the nursey thing.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's the problem with things we don't understand.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we do this with foreign languages, for goodness sake. Just speak louder and clearer.
Yes.
And hope they'll understand us.
And then you start the sign language, and they're like, you know, the little things, do a bit of this, bit of that. But absolutely, it's like, how do you put that one into words?
It sounds as if anybody who knows anyone who's suffering from it or has been diagnosed with it, there is a lot of help out there, particularly in this region.
Absolutely. And, you know, on a national level, and things that people can get off the internet or phone up and get information about symptoms, because that's one thing that I feel passionately about, encouraging people that there is help out there, whether it be the MS Society, the MS Trust, or your local therapy centre, which we're very privileged to have in Berkshire, that a lot of people that I know with MS actually go and use. So it's great.
The therapy centre in Reading is obviously a great resource, but it is run on volunteers and it is run on donations as well, isn't it?
Well, that's the thing, and we are aware, obviously, of the challenges with the economic climate, and it's something that I'm always looking at different ways to do fundraising and ways that we can actually raise awareness about MS so people can get involved and actually make a positive difference, which people want to. And, you know, as I said, I've done lots of things with motor racing. Now I'm looking at golf with Mike O'Connor, one of my pro teacher. What can we do, you know, to help people understand?
What's your handicap?
Wow. I haven't actually got off the driving range yet. I'm practicing my setup and my stance and my swing, but I did measure the speed, which wasn't bad.
Well, that's good. The one thing I find whenever I'm coached by somebody for my appalling golf is there are so many things they begin to get you to remember to do. Actually, you forget to do the one thing you should do, which is hit the ball.
I know, and not try to hit it too hard. Mike O'Connor was so patient with me, because I'm saying, oh, gosh, you told me that, and I'm trying to remember the setup, the stance, the swing, the this, the that. Yeah. You know, and it's rather...
Just hit the ball.
Yes.
Hit the ball, and as you say, a half swing, a half back swing. People listen to this, they know nothing about golf going. What the hell are they talking about? Half back swing is better than a full back swing.
Well, absolutely.
Get more control.
Yes, and this was when I was there yesterday with Mike O'Connor. He was like, come on, Kaz, you know, don't try too hard. Enjoy it.
Listen to me giving you golf tips. If anybody has seen me play golf, they'd be going, what on earth are you doing, Briggs? Kaz, it's a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you very much indeed for joining us and telling us a little about the condition and perhaps enlightening people, certainly people like me, about what actually happened when people are diagnosed and suffer from MS. It's 23 minutes past 8 o'clock. We need to go for a little walk, I think, fairly shortly. Should we do that after this? I think so.